Welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a place where we talk about all different types of creative arts therapies, expressive therapies, and creative approaches to therapy. On today's episode, I have Noah Ferguson on, and she is the co-founder and one of the directors of Spectrum Creative Arts. And that probably sounds familiar because Wade Richards and Megan Rezig have also been on the podcast. Their episodes are linked below. But today, Noah shares with us a little bit about Spectrum and more about what they're creating, some of the things they're creating on Spectrum Press, which is their dedicated resource website for therapy. It's amazing. So many different options and creative things that you can add in your sessions there. And Noah guides us through three big things that they've really just released since COVID happened. And a few of them, there's actually a free ebook. If you sign up for their newsletter, a free ebook called Success Through the Screen that has tons of great resources about telehealth. And there's also two other things. They've released a songbook called the Social Distancing Songbook. And there's links to all this stuff as well in the show notes. But the Social Distancing Songbook is amazing. There's so many fun, cool, creative songs in there. And be on the lookout for a new release. I think this is coming out in a few weeks. It's called the Virtual Toolkit for School-Based Music Therapists. This is really exciting. The work that they've put into all of these different resources is phenomenal. They're not only just like chock full of amazing things that you can directly plug into your sessions, but they're beautiful too. The design is really awesome. They're visually appealing. So be on the lookout for the Virtual Toolkit. That's coming out in, I think, another couple of weeks. And I do believe you can get CMTE credits for that one if you're a music therapist. And there's the free ebook, the Social Distancing Songbook. So Noah guides us through and gives us all the details of the really cool things in there, as well as just talking about the amazing collaboration that happens at Spectrum Creative Arts. Dance, music, art, there's a little bit of everything there, and they're doing a lot of cool things. So enjoy the episode, and I'll talk with you on the other side. Okay, Noah, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Kate, I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. I love that we've had so many different ideas of what to talk about on this podcast together, and I'm excited for what you're going to share today. It's going to be awesome.
Well, isn't that the beauty of the creative therapy umbrella, right? There's so many things that fall under the umbrella. Let's just do all the things.
I know. That's my problem as a person is I'm like, I want to do all the things. And under this umbrella, we can.
We can. Da, yes. Da, da.
So for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about what you currently do with your practice or as a therapist? Give us a little overview of you.
Oh, you betcha, girl. So as Kate said, my name is Noah. I live in Rochester, New York, and I'm one of the co-founders and directors of Spectrum Creative Arts. We are a creative arts center, as you can imagine by our name, that specializes in inclusive programming for students of all ages and abilities. Our emphasis is really on creating a space and creating creative opportunities where anyone can feel like they're finding something that resonates with who they are and what they're looking for and what they want to do and how they want to express themselves. So we have just been so fortunate over the last, we're nearing on 7 years here in September. I know, it's crazy. we've just been so fortunate to have such a supportive community here in Rochester of our students, of so many other practicing clinicians in the area, and really being able to spread the work that we're doing in music, art, dance, and theater into school districts and into senior care facilities and early intervention. I mean, it has just been such an amazing evolution that I don't think myself or Megan Rezig or Wade Richards, my two business partners, could have ever envisioned happening, especially in such a short amount of time, 7 years. So yeah. we are thankful. And Kate, I think if anyone knows how to talk about Spectrum, it's you, because we're just so lucky to have had you on our team years ago. It's so great to just come back full circle and be able to talk to you about things that maybe aren't necessarily Spectrum, but that we're still both so passionate about.
Totally. Yes. And for listeners, if you're curious, there are two episodes with Wade. There's one with Wade and with Megan, who you spoke of too, which are great episodes, songwriting, and Megan's awesome, awesome episode with the Enneagram
and personality. Oh, she lives for the Enneagram. Oh yeah. And you know what? I will admit, I was a little bit of a skeptic at first because I just kept thinking, well, this sounds like a great leisure interest. I'm wondering how that's going to tie into our work. But man, knowing what everyone's Enneagram numbers are really helps us as supervisors and as colleagues to make sure that we're creating experiences for them in their capacity as people working in music therapy or in art therapy, you know, dance, theater, to really feel most supported and feel most comfortable and prepared for their work. So, you know, I guess I'm a skeptic turned believer, if you will, but the Enneagram is definitely, it's really interesting, and personality tests are just really, really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And they really are. That value is, you know, they're not the end all be all to everything people are as a person, but they give some guidance on important things to think about, you know, how somebody ticks, their values. I remember taking the Wade made us take the True Colors.
True Colors.
Yeah. And I remember taking, and that was probably one of the first ones that I had really ever taken besides, I think, like the Myers-Briggs. But even that one, I was like, wow, this is really interesting, not only to learn who I was, but then the other, to learn what other people were and then in relation to each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think, you know, clearly we haven't administered the Enneagram formally or had any of our students take it. But I do think that that whole idea of really understanding a whole person and all of how all of the parts contribute to the whole is how we as clinicians naturally think. So it's been really interesting to draw some very specific attention to that as we're talking about our colleagues or our friends or our family, so that we can really understand those relationships. And I would say that it forces us to really also rethink about how we work with our students and our clients. So it's really been sort of this magical twofold unraveling of revelations, if you will, so that we can really start to further our thought process and our understanding about our role as clinicians and as educators and therapists. So yeah, it's all good things. Yeah.
I love that. Well, let's take that idea of the whole person and talk about the unique thing that you guys have going on at Spectrum, being a creative arts center that has all of these different creative modalities and working with the whole person. What does that look like because you guys have this access to all these different types of creative arts and a focus on working with the whole person?
I think that in incorporating all of these different disciplines, right? So we have music therapy and we have art therapy in terms of the therapies, and then we have education in dance and theater. Really being able to find ways to highlight everyone's creativity and their unique perspective, and for our students to highlight their unique qualities and what they bring to the table. So there really is this idea of reciprocity in terms of how we structure our business, how we structure our team, that trickles directly into the student and client experience. So I think that in being a place like our name suggests, where we work with a little bit of everyone and anyone, we have to also model that in how we present ourselves as an organization. So I don't think that we can truly embody our mission if we don't show that in how we structure ourselves organizationally. So I do believe that all of the pieces, again, all of the parts contribute to the whole. And when we're thinking about the part, the whole is what really helps us to fine tune some of those details.
Yes. Oh, I love that. You guys have an incredibly creative team. You're focusing on the whole person. You've also made this really amazing shift because of COVID and expanded Spectrum Press. Can you tell us a little bit about that process, how you know, things kind of came together with this expansion and this, it feels like explosion of creativity that's coming from you guys. It's awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think an explosion of creativity is probably a good way of putting it. You know, Spectrum Press has been something that has been in the works for quite some time. Both Megan and Wade, because they have been practicing for some time as well, and they've also had so many different experiences. They've had a podcast together. They've had different resource sites. They've published different resource books. So I know that this was a really big passion project of theirs that while we have transitioned to this fully virtual model during COVID, it seemed like such a great time to place that much needed time and attention to really seeing this project through. So Spectrum Press is a resource hub, though I guess that's a word I like to use, hub, where we bring music and various music-based resources to this one place to really inspire creative work. So we think that because creativity is such a huge part of our profession as music therapists or as art therapists, dance therapists, drama therapists, right? That whole creative arts therapists sort of division. It's really important to us to make sure that we are contributing to a wealth of knowledge and to a wealth of resources that really speak to the creative part of it. Because I know you and I, Kate, have talked about that creativity piece, and that creativity piece really specifically defines Spectrum and how we view ourselves and the work that we do. So we're constantly pushing ourselves to take that creativity to the next level. And we thought, you know, why not take this opportunity now that we're home and we're working really heavily on computers and with technology to share these virtual resources with other people in the hopes that maybe it can inspire their own creative journey or supplement a lot of the work that they're doing. So Spectrum Press is literally a little bit of everything from songbooks to session ideas to interviews with related professions. I know we interviewed our art therapist on it who also owns her own yoga studio. So we're really bringing in all of these creative disciplines and this multimodal approach to sharing resources with the goal being that we're inspiring creative work with diverse learners, right? Students like ours who are so incredibly eclectic in their interests and in their needs and where they come from and what they're looking for. So really creating a spectrum of material through this, I know, gosh, it's so hard to not be punny with Spectrum, but I guess that's also why we intentionally chose it. But I do feel that picking that name Spectrum Press was really intentional too. We wanted to really have that same feel that we are so proud to embody as an organization in our organization's resource network. So yeah, I would say that's kind of how Spectrum Press came to explode, but it was always kind of bubbling beneath the surface. So if we want to envision a volcano with lava, yep, right? The lava's been hot and kind of stirring around in there, but now it has erupted into this beautiful, you know, magical thing called Spectrum Press.
And it's just like raining down everywhere, rainbows, like art materials.
Rain on me, you know it. Yeah, exactly.
I love it. So, and you guys have been working on, among many things on Spectrum Press. I have to tell you, your song Butterfly, it gets stuck in my head all of the time. Butterfly, you butterfly. it's so catchy.
It's far too kind.
It's so fun. And just like, but I love it. There's so many great things on Spectrum Press. But now that COVID has happened, you guys have created some really amazing materials specifically for social distancing, for working virtually. Can you tell us about a couple of those?
I can. You know, this transition to virtual work, for anyone who is doing virtual work, stop and give yourself a pat on the back because, man, our transition into virtual work was real fast.
Yes.
Wasn't super polished because we just wanted to prioritize that continuity for our students. And we figured, we'll kind of hash out the details as we go. But our first priority was, let's just do it. So when you're just doing something that you've never done before, there's a huge learning curve. And that learning curve has been one that we are so grateful for because it has taught us so many new ways to be a creative clinician, right? So I'm going to keep coming back to that idea of creativity because it's my passion. I'm all about that creativity.
It's all what we're about here.
that's why we're here. Spectrum Creative Arts. Yep. You know, Hello. This is what we do. This is you and me, Kate. We're creative, maybe to a fault, but we just absolutely live for it. And in learning all of these life lessons or these virtual lessons or whatever we'd like to call it, we thought, again, let's just find some ways to share that with other people so that maybe they don't have to go through all of those rough patches that we did. Because if you can spare someone a tough journey, why not? Yes. So we created first our Songs for Social Distancing e-songbook, which we gave the hashtag Stop the Spread because, again, we're really passionate about creating resources that are not only helpful, but that prioritize, of course, everyone's well-being. So the Songs for Social Distancing e-songbook really came about from our team's just sort of ongoing creativity, navigating this exceptionally challenging, uncharted territory challenge of COVID-19. I mean, I don't know of many people living that have seen anything quite like this in their lifetime. It is just so unusual. There are no known ways to deal with it or ways to talk about it or ways to just sort of push through. So our team really felt that it was their duty, it was their mission to create these experiences to specifically support that transition that we're still all navigating in its different iterations. So that was kind of step one. And then we came out with our Success Behind the Screen, our 11 session ideas for creative virtual work, which was a free ebook that we actually still have up on the website, Kate, on spectrumpress.org. Yeah, where you can just, the second you go up on our website, it'll pop up right there when you're on the website. It says, hey, you know, sign up for our e-newsletter and you get a free copy of the songbook. Sweet. So that's something that was just, again, compiled by our incredibly creative team that is just some practical things to incorporate into your virtual sessions, again, specific to virtual work and to this COVID pandemic that we're all figuring out. So those are kind of our two things that we have out right now that are two specific ebooks, if you will, that have resources for virtual work. Mm-hmm. And then we're in the works, we're in the process, this is exciting, exciting, exciting stuff, mm-hmm. of putting together a virtual toolkit for school-based music therapists. Because like I mentioned, we are in, oh gosh, I think we're in between 12 to 14 school districts right now that we are so proud are up virtually 1,000%. We got all of our students back up. It has just been such a victory for our students. We are just thrilled beyond the moon. But in doing that, again, as you can imagine, lots of learning curves, lots of bumps in the road. So we're putting together this virtual toolkit that consists of 10 video modules. It'll be between an hour to 2 hours worth of video content that we're going to supplement with lead sheets and visuals. That is everything that any school-based music therapist needs to know when they're entering the virtual service platform. So I mean, here in New York State, the extended school year, our summer term for our special education kiddos is coming up real soon. So we are working hard to get it all up and ready so that come that first week of July, people can have access to this toolkit and they can have those questions answered about everything from how do I set up a session? Who do I communicate with? To how do I share resources online? To what are some interventions that I can use specifically to address academic areas, social areas, self-regulation areas? So we're giving other music therapists actual song interventions that we've created with lead sheets and visuals so you can just copy and paste in your own way, obviously, these concepts and these interventions into your sessions. So yeah, to say we're excited about it is an understatement because myself as a school-based music therapist, I am just thrilled to be able to share this with other people and hope that it's helpful, right? That yes. Things are only useful if they're helpful. So that's the hope.
And it's the helpfulness. And when you think about all of the shifts that everybody has had to make, and if you're a business owner, there's the business shifts. If you're a therapist, all of your everything, it really pulled the rug out from everything for everyone. And having like a resource like that, this feels like the time when we need to be supporting each other of like, hey, you guys have this amazing team who all have collaboratively made these ideas and put them together. It's helping somebody else who may be so tired from some other kind of shift that's had to happen, where it's like, lean on your people. Like, we are a community, and you guys are just exemplifying that so much by all of these resources.
Well, it's because it comes really back to this idea of relationships. Relationships have been put to the test right now, right? We are separated by a screen from our loved ones, from our educators, from anyone that we would typically have contact with. If we're lucky, we get to see them on a screen. So we wanted to really capitalize on this idea of the fact that our team, although there's, 21 of us right now that are all separated by a screen, we have managed to, in some ways, be more collaborative and more connected to each other than ever. And I think that that feeling that we all are sharing right now has helped us to not only have this explosion, like you said, of creativity, but to also then make sure that that idea of relationships is still a top priority when we're working with our students and with our clients. So yeah, we do have a collaborative team. And I think we have that because we have always, as an organization, prioritized relationships. And on a team, I don't think you can operate effectively or even in a way that you feel good about if you don't feel connected. So I think that connectivity is just the underlying foundation for everything that everyone is doing. But speaking specifically about our experience, it's definitely been a cornerstone for us.
Yeah, and it shows. And I think that when you have that foundation, you can only go up from there. If you're starting with the relationship and it's like, okay, let's get this connected, let's get this working, you can only move forward once you have that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so talking about relationships, let's dig into Songs for Social Distancing. And this being this kind of first thing that came out really quickly, you guys had that out so fast. For social distancing and Songs for Social Distancing, not only why is it important for our clients to have support in talking about social distancing, but then maybe tell us a little bit about what some of these different songs target and how they support and what they're supporting.
Absolutely. This songbook, like I said, is really a compilation of so many of the thoughts and ideas that we probably have in conversation more casually with people that we are interacting with at home or with loved ones about, gosh, you know, this is just so tricky. This is, I can't believe this is happening. Or, oh my goodness, did you expect this? When you have the added layer of complexity of working with individuals who are diverse learners, individuals who are neurodiverse, who process information differently. And when you are that person who is neurodiverse and you're processing things differently, we felt it was really important to create interventions that supported that opportunity for conversation and for a safe space to share whatever it is that you're feeling, or use an intervention to help create a space where you're using music or you're using your creative medium to provide those prompts to elicit some of that information for students that maybe that is really challenging for them to be able to identify, to initiate, and to articulate. Mm-hmm. Was something that we were really passionate about. And so many of our students have various ways of communicating. They may not be verbal communicators. They may use augmentative devices to communicate. They may use sign language. I mean, there are all different ways that the students that we see every single day are interacting with their world. And we felt like by creating this songbook, and within each of the song write-ups, actually, we have some ideas in there for how to extend this opportunity, this intervention for different learning styles. So we wanted to be really thoughtful of the fact that, sure, we may have written these songs with a particular student or a need in mind, but we want this to be accessible to a whole wide array of student needs and interests and styles. So this idea of creating a space to engage in reflection to engage in dialogue, to engage in musical reciprocal experiences surrounding this topic seemed like a really beautiful merge of our training as musicians and our training as clinicians to find that really supportive middle ground for our students. So if you're looking through the songbook, if you haven't checked out the songbook, I'm happy to share just a little bit while we're here today, because I've got it in front of me, and I've used probably all of these songs in nice. One session at one point or another. But we have songs called Things Are a Little Different, What Can I Do, Dealing with Change. So just from some of those titles, we get that sense of sort of what that topic, what that sort of conversation will look like, what that musical conversation will look like. We have songs called Cabin Fever Blues, Scrub Cha-Cha, you know, for washing your hands. We have songs called Be Well, really focusing on your wellness. We have a cute one called We Need the Sun, talking about really why it's important to take those moments to be outside in that safe space to re-energize. So there's a little bit of everything in this songbook, and it really is able to be accessible for the youngest learners to the most mature aging learners, based off of how you as the clinician are really allowing yourself to be empowered and be creative in how you create this accessible experience for your students. So for some students, it might be doing some lyric substitution, doing some creative songwriting, maybe using some of the chord structures as a starting place, maybe sticking to a refrain as sort of your place for starting that songwriting experience, and then filling in the verses together. It might be engaging in some reciprocal instrument play, right? Just because we have a screen between us doesn't mean that we both don't have access to some sort of instrument, as simple as our voice being our instrument, our body percussion being our instrument. If we're fortunate enough to have a piano or a guitar or something that we more often see in music therapy sessions, super. But we know that with our students being home or being somewhere that is not with us in a session space, there's going to be that limitation to the resources that they have. So it's recognized that those limitations and resources should never impact the quality of the experience for your student. Oh, no, 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 no. It should really inspire your creativity to think about how can I use their current environment to create this really engaging, meaningful experience. Yes. And allowing yourself to be so creative and yes. use pots and pans and spoons and forks and mm-hmm. toilet paper rolls in new, exciting ways.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Is like the crux, I feel like, of the creativity thing that we are challenged right now to work on is how mm-hmm. can we take even something, there's this exercise, and actually this is an exercise in my creativity course that's coming out, is exactly what you're speaking on, of how can you take something that, like a brick, and think of 10 different ways to use it that are not brick related. Like mm-hmm. what, there's a million different ways to use everything around you in creative ways, and in way a pencil as a baton, you know, very simple things, but that can continue creating that relationship. And we don't have to let what we have going fall apart because mm-hmm. of limitations to access.
Yeah, I think this idea of sacrificing the quality of an experience has been, for a lot of us, the first thing that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And if I can impart anything, it is that that doesn't have to be a thought that crosses your mind, as long as you're allowing yourself to be open to different ways of viewing the world around you. Yeah. Open yourself up to looking at that stairwell a little bit differently. Looking at that doorknob a little bit differently. Ooh, I wonder what I can do with that little lamp that I have on my end table there, right? It's really allowing this idea of creativity to extend beyond what you're playing on the piano or what you're strumming on the guitar. Creativity yes. really is, as cliche as it sounds, all around us. And Kate, if anyone can talk about that, it's you with your latest publication. I mean, it's exactly that. So mm-hmm. couldn't agree more.
Yes, I love that. And it's especially with there's the quote, necessity is the mother of creativity. I think it is. And then somebody
else. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think somebody else said boredom is the father, which I love too. And it's so true.
And then you wonder what the like cruel, you know, stepsister or aunt is. But, you
know. Yeah. We got to keep, let's keep adding to that family, that creativity.
Yeah. Love it.
I love it. Those songs sound amazing. The cabin, the blues, and all just such creative ideas and ways to take what you already have and reuse it and rethink how can we expand this? How can we reach? How can we continue to adapt what we're doing to meet the needs of the clients that we're working with?
Yeah. And I think sometimes, Kate, it's giving students maybe the language or the words that they have been searching for.
Oh, yeah.
And haven't been able to find them. And when they hear a song as it's written or as you create it in your own session, that might be a huge aha, enlightening moment for them that yes. that maybe we wouldn't have known about unless we created that experience. So mm-hmm. yeah, I think we know that music is kind of this incredibly magical tool because we went into the field of music therapy. But I think if I'm speaking to any creative arts therapist or creative educator, it's really about allowing yourself, again, this is about empowering and allowing yourself to recognize that things exist in multiple dimensions mm-hmm. and that one purpose is not its only purpose.
Yes. Yes. So, so true. I love that. I like thinking of it in different dimensions.
Yeah. Dimensions. Virtual dimensions. Yeah.
It reminds me of there's an episode of, have you ever seen Community?
Yes, of course I've seen Community.
Yeah. It just came on the time. There's the one where they do the different, I can't think of the word, but it's like dimensions yes. or one thing changes and everything else changes. You know, one person goes down to get the pizza from downstairs and then yes. everything changes. And it's really the same idea with what we're using, the physical objects, the, you know, abstract ideas is the one small mm-hmm. change can perpetually create that ripple effect.
Yeah. One intervention can completely change someone's outlook and mindset. I mean, it's yes. music and words are powerful. We know how powerful words are, especially right now amidst our social culture. Mm-hmm. Words have so much meaning. And when we're creating these lyrics that are compelling and engaging and leave room for thought, I think that there's no better tool at our disposal. Yeah.
Yes. And that space that you're giving and the, like you said earlier too, the reflecting of those words or putting those words out in that space, mm-hmm. which is like a, you know, for, I know that's a big play therapy, you know, technique of just reflecting of, wow,
right.
This looks like you're feeling XYZ, a very basic counseling thing. But when you're putting it out in the space, it's there for the taking if the client needs it. And that's what's mm-hmm. so powerful about music is you can put it out there and it can be fun and engaging, but also you can just watch that seed fall right into somebody's brain and then yeah. just whoop, and start growing.
And that seed doesn't have to consist of words. That seed yeah. can consist of that musical reflection too, right? Words yes. are powerful because they're vulnerable. Mm. It puts us in a really unique spot. And sometimes that's just not what we're ready to do. And yes. we're so lucky to have music, art, dance, drama to help create a method of expression that doesn't mm-hmm. just have to look that one way. So that is what I absolutely love about being in the creative arts field is we have so many different ways to communicate with each other and it doesn't have to look that one way. It really doesn't.
Yeah. And sometimes you do. You need that aesthetic distance to say, I can't talk about this, but I need to express it. And we have mm-hmm. all of those tools of like, okay,
absolutely.
Let's do it. We are not limited to words at all.
We have them. Let's use them. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love it. Well, let's dive into your success behind the screen. Especially yeah. this is an awesome free resource that's just out there right on within your newsletter. What is inside this really awesome resource?
Well, it is a combination of some practical resources. So for example, Wade really loves using different technological platforms and apps in his work. He is kind of the tech guru, if you will, yes, of music therapy. And he's always been that way. So the fact that we're doing virtual, he is living his best, happiest life in that way. So we're like, Wade, live it up and share it with everybody else.
Yep.
So he talks about iReal Pro, which is a great platform that admittedly I am not super familiar with, but it looks like it can create some really quick lead sheets as well as automatically play through a lead sheet to create some nice accompaniment for students. It sounds like you can also splice some materials, recorded materials together. Again, I don't want to speak incorrectly about it, but I know that iReal Pro is the name of the program that he talks about in the book. There's also a sound story, this idea of a sound story. One of my colleagues, I believe it was Sherilyn, came up with it and she put it in the book. Mm-hmm. It is all about using different, again, household objects that you have that have different timbres and colors to create a collaborative journey. It's almost like a story that you write with that musical accompaniment sort of guiding it along. So I loved that. And when she talked about it, oh my gosh, it was so cute. It made me giggle. We had a Zoom workshop actually as a follow-up to the release of the book that was also free. Cause again, let's just get people talking and having important conversations together, where we demoed different parts of the book so that if people hadn't seen or read the book yet, they could still get a sense of what are the things I could tangibly walk away with and be able to do tomorrow in my next session. So Sherilyn modeled a sound story and it was so cute. She had a little frog and a green scarf. And I mean, it was a blast to watch and listen to. So there's the screen story. And I'm trying to think through some other ones that we talked about. Again, there's 11 ideas. So there's quite a few, but hopefully those two will give you a sense of some of the practical, logistical, technical things that are in there, mm-hmm, as well as some of the actual, hey, implement this in your session tomorrow. You don't have to have this technology. Use what you already have, and here's how you can do it to really be engaging and creative.
I love that. And it's free. So you can just go download it and get it and start, you know, implementing it, using it as a springboard is always, you know, everything is a springboard for expanding, adapting, flexing.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just, you need the initial idea. And that is, I love that.
Mm-hmm. And awesome. That's why we loved the Zoom workshop, because sometimes when you read something, you can't quite envision what it looks like. So we wanted to provide that sensory experience, that visual experience, that listening experience, so people could say, oh, this is what iReal Pro looks like. Oh, this is what a sound story looks like. So yeah, if you ever had any questions too, I mean, we encourage everyone to reach out to us on our social media platforms. We have Facebook, we have Instagram. They're both Spectrum Press LLC. So yeah, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. And we want to know what you guys are doing. I mean, hey, why does it have to begin and end with us? What are you guys doing?
I know. I love that. When I'm like, let's get talking. I'm telling people constantly. Yes. There's so much mm-hmm. can come from talking with each other. Just keeps expanding.
Yes.
So did when you guys created the Success Behind the Screen, was that kind of the springboard for your virtual toolkit for school-based music therapists?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't think I've thought about that link before, but I can't help but think that they probably are related in some way. I think mm-hmm. the biggest difference between the Success Behind the Screen ebook and the toolkit is the toolkit is going to be video modules. So there's going to be 10 video modules where different members of our school-based music therapy team, I even have a little cameo, but I was like, guys, I don't want to be featured in this. Like, this is your thing. I'll just like say two things. And they're like, okay, Noah,
hello.
Fine. They're like, okay, Noah, fine. Like, come in and say your piece. But this is, it's a really great hybrid of some concrete things and some creativity session idea things. So I would say in that way, absolutely. I see how it's reminiscent of the Success Behind the Screen ebook, but I will say that since this is school specific populations, we're delving into some more of those IEP areas. So we're talking about intervention ideas for academics, intervention ideas for social skill development, self-management and self-regulation needs, speech specific and communication specific needs. I mean, we're really kind of going over all of those little domain areas that you would typically address as a school-based music therapist and creating some of those concrete, okay, I got this toolkit and I'm walking away with these 5 new interventions that I love, these 10 new interventions that I love. So it's a really nice combination of just some information and best practices, mm-hmm. but then things that you can just tangibly use, because we're all about just like being able to wake up tomorrow morning and be like, cool, I've got 7 new interventions today. Woohoo!
Let's try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So especially thinking of this, that, you know, the school specific resources, what are some of the challenges of the one that kind of really popped out in my mind is, you know, management, you know, behavior management, or, you know, how do you keep someone sitting looking at the screen? Or, you know, what are some of those unique challenges that therapists are going to face if they're school specific virtual sessions?
That's a really great question, Kate. And I wish I had my colleague Haley here with me, because she is really the mastermind behind a lot of the content specifically in this toolkit that is about creating grounding, engaging sensory experiences through a screen. Because you're right, you lose the potential for hand over hand. A lot of, if someone needs some tight squeezes, we can't do that. We can't do that if we're in person right now anyway, because of all of the COVID restrictions, but it's exceptionally challenging through a screen because the option just isn't even there. So I would say that it's finding ways to adjust some expectations. And the reason I say that, Kate, is when you said sitting in a chair. In a classroom, in a traditional classroom environment, that might be something that is really important to that environment. In this virtual environment, it's recognizing I need to prioritize the well-being and the sensory engagement of my student before I can really focus on a lot of these, I don't want to use the word menial, but I would say if we're talking about a hierarchy of need right now, being able to sit in a chair for home learning is less highly ranked on that scale than I would say really dealing with the mental health and the emotional aspects of this complex experience that for a lot of our high sensory need students is really challenging to process. So I hope that answered your question, Kate, about how you can create these engaging experiences, recognizing the limitations of the screen. I guess my summary there is recognizing that our hierarchy of need has to also shift with this change, and knowing how to prioritize all of those pieces, but still creating engaging, grounding experiences is possible. And I would say that Haley and our team has just done an exceptional job with identifying those resources and making them super concrete, because I think therapists watching this toolkit are going to be like, okay, well, that sounds great, but how do I do it? So you'll be able to see, like, how does Haley do it? Because she's going to walk you through that and give you some of those visual supports, which right now through a screen, visual intake is that much more important, and creating those really engaging visual experiences so that it's not just like screen fatigue, screen fatigue, screen fatigue, screen fatigue. So
bobbling head, bobbling head, bobbling
head. Screen fatigue. It's so real. I mean, blue light glasses, if they help you, great. But I mean, there's only so much you can do to really mitigate that stress on your visual sense. So
yes. And there's so it's more of that idea of thinking of how can I get creative with a two-dimensional screen? You know, how can I use this? Not how can it limit me or how can it limit us in our therapeutic relationship, but how can I use it to spur more creative ideas that still work and maybe work equally or sometimes even better than in-person things? We don't know. There's so much potential.
There's so much potential to take what we have learned virtually and carry it back into our in-person work.
Yes.
1,000%. 1,000%. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Can you paint us one more picture of the benefits of this virtual toolkit for school-based music therapists? If that is a picture of what the intervention, an intervention example of what it might look like, or the benefits of having this toolkit in your therapy bag, can you paint us one more picture of how this can support those school-based music therapists?
Absolutely. And again, man, I feel like I'm outsourcing a lot here. I've name dropped Sherilyn and Haley and all of my team members, but I hope that that really also shows how vital they are to our team and our organization. I mean, gosh, I can think I can easily speak on behalf of myself and Megan and Wade and say that this shift to virtual could not have been as awesome as it has without our team. We are just so fortunate to have passionate and talented and creative people on this team. I mean, I love you guys. If you're listening, I love you guys. But, you know, if we're thinking specifically about the modules here, there are 10. So I'm going to try to parse through some of it specifically in my head. There is a whole module that's dedicated to how to set up whatever system that you're using, whether it's a computer, an iPad, a phone, for your session from a sound quality perspective. So Ryan talks us through literally setup, tech setup for all of that, which I think I could have definitely used that tutorial before going into this, because there were lots of like, ooh, I can't hear you. Oh, that cut out. Oh, so he walks you through that really systematically, which I am just so excited that we're able to include. And I feel really grateful to be able to include that. Then, like I said, some of the modules are specifically about the different domain areas. I know one module, Kate, that I am really excited about that, again, I'm going to name drop Haley. My gosh, I've got to also name drop Katie and Chelsea, who are contributing awesome content to this virtual toolkit. But Haley in particular said in our planning meeting, well, should we include a whole module about group facilitation? Because I think so often in this virtual model, we're thinking one-on-one, one-on-one, but hello, there's a whole group world out there still happening. And arguably, these group social experiences are that much more important when people are socially isolated. So when Haley said that, there was a resounding yes, like absolutely. Like, thank you for bringing that up. That should seem so obvious, and yet we totally overlooked it. So if you are someone who is facilitating virtual groups, there are a lot of the logistics challenges, which hopefully Ryan will be able to answer for you. But then there's also just the, how do I navigate this social dynamic in this awkwardly positioned virtual platform? So I think that that group module is one that I am really excited for. And I think will, again, give listeners some really concrete, okay, this is what I can do in my sessions, information.
Oh, I love that. And what an important thing. I know that came up for us at the place that I work with, where we were talking about possibly doing groups and getting groups off of the ground. But then there was like this giant pause of like, wait, how do we do that? Yeah. How do we work
head scratch,
on,
head scratch? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So much of like, should we do it this way? Oh, I don't know. Let's backtrack. Should I do it this way? Oh, let's backtrack. There was so much, we kind of plowed into it thinking like, yeah, let's do a group. We've all done a million groups. It's just online. And then it was like, whoa, does everybody mute? Does everybody not mute? How do you take turns? And there's so much logistic that goes into the group idea that it in itself could be a whole book, I would imagine.
And oh, gosh.
Such a valuable thing to not have to try to figure out on your own and spend weeks learning,
trying to troubleshoot. Hey, and if we're talking about the virtual assumptions train, right, if we're just like chugging along here, there's also the assumption that virtual work is all happening live, which it's not. It is not. So that's another big aspect we talk about, is when you're creating pre-recorded content. Number one, how do you logistically share it? Do you have a secure portal? Do you not? How do you ask those questions? And then how do you create engaging experiences that have a play and a pause button, right? So it's talking about really analyzing the content that you're creating and how you're structuring your session to still maximize engagement when you can't have that reciprocal dynamic. And it is, again, that play pause dynamic. So I'm really glad that we were talking more about this virtual stuff, because then, you know, like I said, my virtual assumptions train kind of left the station and I was like, oh, I want to talk about that. So yeah, that's another big aspect that we talk about, and that as therapists, we should absolutely not rule out pre-recorded, but we have to think that much more about how we're going to create engaging pre-recorded experiences.
Yes. I am so thankful that you were able to come on today and speak on not only your passions, but the passions of your amazingly creative team and what they've done as a community, what you guys have all done as a community and come together to create is just inspiring and really exciting.
Well, I guess our inspire, empower, create slogan,
yes,
for Spectrum has now come full circle. But it really, has. I want to just give all of the kudos to our team, because this is really, they are really the ones that are making these incredible things happen. And Megan, Wade, and I just get to be a part of this journey. And it is a privilege. And our students have just been having a grand old time. It has been a wonderful shift into the unknown, and we are really grateful.
I love it. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing all this, and encourage our listeners, go check out the show notes. Go click on, go get that free ebook. It's so, so great. That's just free extra ideas, and look out for the virtual toolkit, because that's going to be such a great support. So thank you so much, Noah, for coming on and just sharing all of these amazing resources.
Kate, it is always a pleasure, and I'm sure that I have now overwhelmed everyone's ears with my voice. So I will say thank you, and just thank you, Kate, for giving us this really great opportunity to have important conversation right now. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. It is my favorite thing to do, and it's needed, and I'm happy to do it for sure. All right. I hope you guys feel as inspired as I do after this session to like go and get some more ideas for virtual telehealth. Noah and I are like chatty Cathys. I think that we could probably talk for 10 hours straight about life and therapy and everything. And if we did that, I'd probably say the phrase, I love that, like 8,000 times, because I think I said it like 1,000 in this conversation. But I just love talking with Noah, and I really just valued the time that I was at Spectrum so, so much, and they're doing some really creative things. So check out those show notes. Another thing I wanted to let everybody know is that in a few weeks, I will be releasing a course. This course is called Cultivating Creative Resiliency, and it's for therapists who work with children. And what this course really does is provides different information and research about creative resiliency. We know that children have resiliency factors that can help them move through difficult experiences in their life. And creativity is one of those that's being researched, especially recently. We know that creative resiliency has profound ripple effects. Children are naturally creative, but many times the skill is lost as children move into adulthood. So not only does our future depend on creative thinkers, adaptive minds, and connected relationships, but I think creative resiliency can build skills to support the mental well-being of children, as well as having those ripple effects onto the larger community. So this course does a lot of experiential teaching. You can grow your own ability to think creatively and expand your awareness, shift your perspective. And then from there, we talk directly about how to bring those experiences into the child therapy room. So you're going to experience those creative exercises and all the different kinds of things. There's 20 plus kinds of experiences to boost your creativity and work on all of those skills. And then each one we dive into how you can bring them into the playroom. So I'm really, really excited about this course. There's tons of theories involved of developmental psychology, resilience science, existential theory, Buddhist psychology, relational cultural theory, improv comedy. There's a little bit of everything in this training, and I'm really
really, really excited to get it out there. So one of the best places you can learn more information is hop on our newsletter. That's also linked in the show notes. And you'll be the first to know when the course comes out, when it goes on sale, and all of that stuff. So hop on our newsletter to get more information. You can always head to our website and get more information there. Don't forget about the anonymous survey that is in the show notes as well. Always feel free to use that. I want to hear your voice. And for now, take care and be creative.